Welcome to the Two Hmong Boys podcast, where your hosts, Chu and Meng, give our hottest takes on current events and Hmong topics.
So join us each week and sit back, relax, and cha yi ba.
Hey, y'all.
What's up?
Welcome to our first episode of Two Hmong Boys. We're really glad you guys tuned in today.
We're your hosts, Chu and Meng.
On our first show today, we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to share with you guys what our podcast is all about. We're going to have a segment on first impressions. And then we're going to have a reaction to a recent post on Facebook about Romeo and Simple Lies. And then we'll wrap up the show with what we call here Hmong Lu Hmong, which is a relationship corner.
All right, so let's do this. Here's a story of how we came up the idea for the podcast. So Meng was in town one night and he wanted to drink. So we were doing game night and we were drinking at one of our friend's house. And if anyone knows me, I'm the type of person that has thousands of ideas. Now I'm always pitching to whoever will listen, you know?
Yeah, but dude, most of the time when we listen to your ideas, they're really bad and they're dumb. But you know, that night you're lucky. We've just been drinking already that night. And so we were generous and we decided to listen to you a little bit.
Okay. So anyways, so my most recent idea that night was to do a Hmong podcast about guys just talking shit, you know, and like doing stupid shit that might be funny. But before that, I did a little bit of research and I noticed that a lot of Hmong podcasts out there were about like self-improvement, empowerment, or like real inspirational shit, you know?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I see too, right? When you were talking podcasts at night, I'm just kind of like, yeah, I mean, they're all about being better, and there's just not enough pure entertainment out there.
Definitely. And I was like, damn, dude, I can't relate to any of this shit, but I know Meng, and he eats that shit up because he's a 10%er. We're being honest here, you know, like, I feel like only 10% maybe of Hmong people are, like, really motivated and ambitious.
Oh, okay, Chu, whatever. Where did you get those stats from?
The Hmong Wisconsin Tribune. So I was like, damn, dude, there needs to be a podcast out there for like the common man, the 90%ers like me, you know? Someone, you know, who has no aspirations or motivation, you know, someone who's just living paycheck to paycheck, waiting for the weekend so he can drink and kick it with his friends and family, you know? So I was thinking, damn, dude, this could be us, man.
Yeah, and you know, I could resonate with that because that's exactly what we were doing that night, just drinking and shooting the shit. And then it just got me thinking, like, this is also the same type of shit we do in our Facebook chats. We just talk about dumb stuff in our Facebook chats. And so if you're talking about essentially turning that into content for a podcast, I'll buy that. That's pretty simple. But if you're going to like make me do work for it, that might be too much. So I started texting a friend who also does a podcast, just to see like, you know, what they thought, because, you know, obviously we always think we have good ideas and especially we've all been drinking. And you know, she was like, you know what, that might work. You know, that there might be you know, an audience for that.
And that's funny though, because like I said earlier, like no one ever takes me seriously. And this is like one of the first times that anyone took me seriously. And Meng was actually like texting his friend and stuff about it. I was like, damn, talk, go, go, good morning,
like. Stupid. Yeah, and you know, chubashitama, because you know, next week after we were done, I thought this was just guy talk when we were drunk, right? Next week, Chu actually like hit me up in the middle of the week when we're both sober. She's like, hey, if you really want to do this, you know, let's talk about it. I'm like, damn, this guy's for real. All right. so then we talked, and you know, essentially then that's how, you know, Two Hmong Boys is created, you know, and ultimately, you know, we just seek to entertain our audience by giving them our hottest takes on Hmong topics. And that is pretty much our vision for this show. To kick off this segment, Chu, my take on first impressions is that, you know, they are pretty important. However, you know, I think they can be sometimes really misleading if you're not getting enough information to make a good judgment about a person or their character.
That's true. So like, you know, but, you know, first impressions are important, but I feel like they're situational. For example, like in a professional setting, yeah, obviously you're always going to want to have a good first impression because that just makes sense. But like if you're like trying to make make friends or meet new people, you know, like I feel like first impressions are the dumbest shit ever. But like if I'm going to meet someone for the first time, I'm just going to be me because like for example, like me, I have a polarizing personality. Like, you either hate me or love me. I'd rather know sooner than later because, you know, I don't want to be friends with fake ass bitches anyways. what was your first impression of me?
You probably thought it was a fake ass bitch because my first impression with you was exactly that you were pretty much an asshole dude. So, you know, like we first met in freshman year of college. When I first started hanging out with Hmong people, you know, the freshman boys, there was a group of them. They called themselves the 15 Strong. And at the helm of the 15 Strong were like these two ringleaders, which is another friend of ours. And then Chu was the other ringleader. And Chu's just really rough and like has no filter. And so he just seemed like such an asshole. And like all of the, you know, other guys, freshman guys kind of just followed him around, did what he did. So, you know, Chu was probably thought he was the alpha of the pack. And so I was just really turned off by that. You know, and I also couldn't take Chu seriously because of that attitude that he had. And two, Chu would always sport this denim jacket that he'd wear. And so like just that combination of his personality, that denim jacket, I just couldn't be like, this is somebody I want to get to know as a friend.
That's funny you say that, you know, but dude, honestly, like my first impression of you, I was like, this guy's such a whitewash. Like, dude, I was like, so, you know, freshman year, you know, this guy only wanted to be friends with the freshman girls and the upperclassmen guys. And I was like, what the fuck, dude? But, you know, I learned a little bit about him, you know, like, and I was like, dude, we could never be good friends, you know, because we're like total opposites. Because this guy's rich and I'm poor. Like, for example, like, he went to private school. And then I just went to public school. And this guy, you know, he's smart and I'm not that smart. You can almost say I'm dumb because I'm pretty sure this guy scored like a 30 plus on his ACT. And I got into UW-Madison with a 10.
Affirmative action in play right there.
Yes, thank you, affirmative action. And this guy's like super ambitious and I'm just like trying to get by. I'm lazy, you know? Like, it took me 5 years to graduate with a bachelor's degree. In 5 years, this guy got his master's. I was like, holy shit, dude, I can't, this guy, you know, he's too good for me. I can't be with him. Yeah.
Super. But it's funny though, right? Like, 17 years later now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here we are doing a podcast together.
Yeah. That's why it's funny though, because like you said, it's funny because I was like, I never thought I would be doing something like this with you, you know? But, you know, 17 years later, I was like, we started hanging out a little bit more. Now we're both more mature. He's still rich, but, you know, he seems cooler now. So I was like, he's not so bad now.
Yeah. And for me, it kind of goes back to like what I, you know, my thought first impression is like, you know, they were important at first, but, you know, they were misleading too, right? Like, you know, here we are 17 years later, have had time to break through those first impressions where, you know, at the end of the day now, my take on Chu is completely different. Like Chu's whole asshole routine, that was just a front, man. This guy is like the softest guy in the world. He's a fucking like teddy bear, you know, like so emotional and things like that, you know? So I'm so that was a freaking front. And while he may seem mean, come off as mean as that, he's actually a really nice guy. You know, he's really sweet to his wife. And you know, Chu is living proof, guys, you know, nice guys out there, that you don't always finish last.
Dude, that's fucked up.
Okay, so enough of the bromance, Chu. Let's have some fun. Let's go into our next segment. Let's talk a little bit about Romeo and the Polites.
All right, let's do this.
So Chu, a couple of days ago, I had a friend forward me this post on Facebook by Romeo Vang. And it was basically, you know, him putting out there that he got played by some girls who were intentionally manipulating his feelings, even though she didn't really care for him. So Chu, I sent it to you. We're going to pull it up and read through it and just kind of offer our takes and reactions to it.
Sure.
Okay. So in this conversation, the group is called Ball Lies. And it's essentially the screenshots of two girls going back and forth. The first girl, her name is Russell's ABG, and that's going to be Chu. And then Minnesota Thick Bitch, I'm going to read what she's saying. All right, so Chu.
Romeo Vang, kind of ugly, NGL. You think he cute and funny.
Laugh my ass off. I played his ass back then.
Bitch, spill the tea.
We talked after his ex from lacrosse and him broke up. But Chia, you were there too, but you left early. I was tipsy at the time, so hear me out. I texted and flirted with him as a joke. His heartbroken ass went along with it. This went on for about a month. called him a few times, made some plans to meet up, but I always said I was busy. Then one night he said he needed time to heal still and asked if we could just be friends. He was sad as fuck about his ex. I told him that we should cut each other off then. I was too busy with school and dance. He agreed with it and said how good, in quotation marks, of a person I was. Later that night, we went to drink at YP's house, and this guy kept trying to hit on me. We took a snap together, and I posted on my private page saying, "On to better guys." Romeo saw it and made a whole status about being used. I commented under it saying he should have at me. He asked if I had played him, and I told him that he should have seen it coming. Ever since then, he never messaged me back.
Bitch, you played him good.
He was a soft ass anyways. He probably still is. Did his ex cheat on him? He for real heartbroken now.
Soft stick don't get you nowhere, girl.
Period. He was sweet and nice, but boy, no girl wants that.
And scene. Damn, dude, these bitches mean as fuck, dude. They didn't even call him out by name, but they ain't lying, dude. This dude's soft as fuck. But on the flip side, if I'm being honest, these bitches are probably serious about him. And when he didn't want to talk to them no more, they just wanted to, like, get mad and, like, get their revenge and shit on him. You know, kind of like guys, you know, going to the bar, trying to talk to a girl, and the girl rejects him. And he tells all his friends that she's a lesbian. Kind of like that.
You know, one thing I was thinking about as I was reading this is the group named Polaina. And there was a comment by some woman a couple of weeks ago, or I don't know when it was, that talked through and defined like what a Polai was. So as I was reading this, I was thinking in my head, you know, are Russell's ABG and Minnesota Thick Bitch, are they really Polais? So this girl defines Polai. An original Polai are the girls who grew up in the 90s and early 2000s who wore bell-bottom pants and tank tops and had those butterfly clips in their hair with super thin eyebrows and dark lip liner. These were the girls who could run with the gangsters, smoke real cigarettes, which I don't know what real cigarettes are. Aren't they all just cigarettes? And then they were down to fight. But these original Polais also knew how to cook and clean and made the best Nya 10Ks. Most of them are all married now, and the divorced ones are mostly remarried because they're keepers. Don't mistake them for the ratchet girls nowadays. You know, as I was reading this, I'm just kind of like, I don't know, man. These girls are still single. If they're divorced, they look like they're still single because they're still talking to dudes. And so, you know, they must not be real polite because it doesn't seem like anyone wants them. They're not a keeper.
That's true.
Yeah, so too, these girls are probably just some ratchet girls anyways. So Romeo, I wouldn't get too worked up about them. But, you know, Romeo, I also question, or I'm also wondering why you're so heartbroken. You know, because had you not found out they're playing you, you had made a decision to stop being with the person anyways. And so if that was already the case, you know, is this just a matter of finding out after the fact that you got played and then having an ego and feeling all hurt about that? I don't know. You know, and then the other part of, you know, where I'm wondering or questioning is like, you know, why are you putting yourself on blast too? This is a public status. It's been commented and shared about 1,000 times. And in his status, he says like, you know, no wonder why I'm so insecure about myself. It's because of stuff like this. And so I'm thinking in my head, I don't know that this helps to put yourself on social media to help your self-confidence, because I'm not sure this also puts you in the most positive light either.
Well, that's not, that might not be true, you know, because based off on his pictures and shit, he looks like a millennial. And we all know millennials, you know, no one loves them. Their parents, like, don't give them enough love or support, you know. So, you know, he needs emotional support at this time. And all millennials, what do they turn to? Social media, obviously. So that's why he was putting himself out there so he can get more likes.
Yeah, I guess there's an element of that, because if you do look at the comments, you know, most of the comments generally are in support of him and, you know, and kind of calling out the girls, right? I don't know. So I think if he's also putting this out there like this, and he's basically kind of putting the girls on blast too, right? And so in my head, like, Romeo, if you're doing this for revenge, you don't even call the names of these girls, man.
Dude, Roman, we got your back, boy. Just send us their real names and we'll public shame them for you. So we got you, son.
But too, like, take away all this stuff about those Polai girls and Romeo. You know, I just thought the Polai group was really interesting. You know, I think it's a fun group that, like, I would want to be part of. Like, listen, the gossip that goes in there, man, that's, like, right up my alley, you know? And I think, you know, I could just grab a bag of popcorn and just start eating and reading the comments. So we need to join this group. Romeo, you need to send us names. Minnesota Thick Bick or Russell's ABG, you know, hit us up so we can be part of this. We've already got our nicknames picked out, you know, so like, you know, if we can be part of this group, you know, for example, Chu, you know, she's from Manesha. So, you know, his nickname would be Manesha's Original All You Can Eat.
Dude, that's fucked up, man. All right, you want to do that? All right, let's see. All right, I got a name for you. Well, this shit's dark, though, because, you know, I was thinking about Ball Eyes back in the 90s. You know, back then, that was us, you know.
The real Ball Eyes, right?
The real Ball Eyes. That was our era. You know, and you were, like, probably one of the biggest Ball Eyes, you know. So I'll probably call you something like Ride the Train.
Oh, my
but that's
God.
Some dark-ass shit, so let's not get more into that. But, you know, if you guys lived it back in the 90s, you know what I'm talking about. So, Romeo, dude, don't worry, dude. These girls are just ratchet bitches, you know. So, but, you know, based off your age and shit, I'm pretty sure your mom is the real Ball Eye. So I'm pretty sure she can kick the shit out of these bitches. So if you really need some help, just go crying to your mommy.
So true, speaking of Balai, let's talk about the three Balai songs that I sent to you earlier this week for this episode.
All right, sure.
So the first song I sent you was by DJ Peter, Balai featuring JMT Yakutia. So true, what did you think of the song?
Well, I never heard this song before, so I was like, I guess it's all right. The rhymes are really straightforward. She doesn't really have like a good flow. I think her strongest line was like the first two lines. You know, anytime you can call someone Jimadua, I was like, damn, dude, caught you.
Yeah, I mean, she does enunciate the tua when she says it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I sent you this one. I like this song because I like her owning who she is and what she does. You know, because me, I actually use the term Balai as a compliment because to me, it's basically women who are independent, who know what they want and go after they want, and they don't really care how society looks at them and to going after what they want. And I think that's respectable of a woman to be able to do that.
I guess.
And so, yeah. So that's why I like about the song. It's like she's just owning it. And then, you know, she does call it the double standard in this song too. A lot of like, you know, women do one thing and it's viewed a certain way. Guys do the exact same thing and it's viewed a different way. You know, at the end of the day, I think just all the lyrics kind of bring all of that message together. But like probably one of my favorite parts in the song is when she goes like ta ta tuan ja in you all the talk your minyona
then do showing off on pay lo bit ja to no more fog dude. Well, I don't know, like you know, you're right, you know, like the lyrics, I feel like they're really deep, you know, and they have a lot of meaning, but then that's what kind of turned me off to the song, because I was like thinking like I want to be entertained, I don't want to be lectured, you know. And like this felt more like a lecture. So like in a way, like I kind of felt like it was like more like it kind of had like a bahua feeling to it, even though like it doesn't like meet the bahua standards of like the fucking dude, rhyming shit, you know?
Is that because you think you're the guys that she's talking to?
No, definitely not.
You feel like she's yelling at you?
Oh, she's just like being a jerk to all guys.
I'm not offended by it, man. I don't think she's yelling at me.
I'm not offended either. I'm just saying, like, no one wants to listen to a song that is lecturing you, you know? Like, that's not what I'm trying to do, yeah. You know? If I want to get lectured, I would just go to my mom and dad, and then they'll lecture me all day.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, okay. So, the second song that I sent you, one of my favorites, is Nya Zhang Balai by Art featuring Jer Lee.
Aren't you sure that's... Are you sure that's not A-R-T featuring Jared Lee?
I think so, because I think the guy's name's Arthur, so I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
Sure. It is capitalized A-R-T, just so you know.
All right, Chu, what do you think?
Oh, I love this song. The beat is awesome, you know, and it's really catchy. The chorus is awesome, but then I feel like, pretty sure they sampled it, and I was digging up some shit, and I think it's from, well, I don't know what the original song, but I know that this guy sang it, Siley, I think it is.
God rest his soul.
Stupid. And I think the song's like, Due Min Ling Cai. But, you know, it's a good sample, though, because, you know, like, all great rap songs are sampled. You know, like, for example, I'll Be Missing You by P. Diddy.
One of the best ever.
Yeah, for real. But yeah, I think it's a great song. Like, the rappers are actually really good. I thought they were awesome. Like, I can't even tell they were Hmong. The only time I could tell they were Hmong was when they spoke Hmong.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, too, like I was saying, I love this song. Like, this is my get hype song for the club. You know, because I already told you I use the term Bolai very endearingly. So whenever I go out, you know, I'm trying to find the Bolais. And so this song gets me in the mood for that. And I always like the Hmong songs where, like, I can take a pickup line from it, essentially, right? So, like, the way the song starts out, you know,
dude, that's a sweet line, dude.
Yeah. And so overall, like, it's always been one of my favorite. The beat's good. The lyrics are good. It gets me in the mood to talk to some Bolais.
Well, yeah. Well, I really like the song, like, overall, but the only thing I could do a fault was that last minute. Like, I felt like that was a totally different song that they just threw on at the end of the song at the 3 minute mark. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit?
Okay, so the last one I sent you is a newer one that I just kind of discovered recently within like the last year or so. It's by Huavu and Selesna Lore called Call the Thug.
Stupid.
So, Chu, what did you think of that one?
Oh, my first reaction was, what the fuck?
Dude, that was mine too, man, the first time I saw it.
Dude, I was so fucking cringing the whole time, dude. Like, I don't fucking know, dude. I can't take, like, Hmong girls acting super, like, really tough and shit. Like, oh my god, dude. I don't know. Like, we can tip on, but not in the good way.
Yeah. I mean, it was funny, but, like, you know, I actually, like, also respect people who are willing to put themselves out there like that, right? Like, I don't know. I think they look cringeworthy, I guess, but, like, I respect that they're willing to put that out there.
No, like, I'm okay with cringe, you know, like, as long as you know you're cringe, like, self-awareness, it's cool, but when you're trying to be cool or hard, but it's cringe, and you don't realize it, then damn, dude, I feel bad for you. But, like, but this one had a music video, so that was kind of cool to watch, but what the fuck, like, why are you guys in a junkyard? Why? That makes no sense. How's that have anything to do with being hard? But yeah, like, overall, I think the rhymes are really weak. Like, there's no creativity.
What?
They're, like, pretty straightforward. Like, oh, I'm so hard. You know, y'all guys can't hang with me. Y'all can't drink with me. Like, it's fine. But, you know, the good thing is, I guess they're kind of cute. But, you know, are they Thailanders? I got a Bobby vibe from them.
I think they're from Laos too, but once I discovered these two girls too, like, I've been a kind of a fan of theirs. You know, I listen to them.
For real, dude.
Yeah, because I just think it's funny that they do like the stuff they put out and they own it, you know. And so I think these girls have a coronavirus one too. Like, that one's fucking funny as hell too. I don't know if you've seen that.
I think I saw some people share on Facebook, but every time I don't know them that well, but I'm pretty sure like they have a couple songs and then. When I press play, and then after like 5 seconds of it, I'm like, fuck, I can't do this.
These two girls are like us. I mean, shit, this show's probably cringeworthy.
No. I know that I'm cringeworthy. No, I'm self-aware. I don't know if these girls are self-aware.
Going back to being hard though, dude, like, you know, I would love to hang out with these two girls, man. Like, I think once quarantine's over, you and I gotta go there.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Because I just think, like, if they are for real, damn, Kotesa, I bet they're super fun as hell to drink with. I bet they could hold their own drinking really well too. I mean, you know, we're no longer in our prime. We're Beholga Tohana, you know?
Man, did you forget college already? there's plenty of petite homegirls that thought they could hang, and we drink them under the table like every time.
I mean, it sounds like, you know, our tagline is "Hokatona," but from the lyrics here, like, I think their tagline might be "What you hotula ho, what you hotula ho."
Stupid.
John, like,
so fucking gross, dude.
I'm serious. You go there, you just be like, "Hey, come hang out," and especially, and they even say, like, I think in the song, right, like, call your guys, you know, to bring out more guys. They'll call the girls, bring out more girls. I just think it'd be a blast, dude.
I guess. But enough of these Bud Light bitches. Let's move on to Mong Nu Mong. So for our last segment, Mong Nu Mong, we want to get serious. So May and I, we've been crushing life. And every now and then, we'll see people post on Facebook, you know, bitching about their life problems and asking for advice. So we wanted to do this Mong Nu Mong segment to help offer people utsakehu, to help bring them up to our level.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, na, Mong yoshito lu mong, tepe yoshito shipa.
Yala. So it's from anonymous. You meet someone and somehow you just know that they're not the one, but you care for them deeply. Is that possible?
Yeah. Why is this person, I'm gonna assume it's a guy or a girl, is asking this question? They must be pretty early on in their dating relationship life, you know, because I think caring for someone and loving someone to want to be with them are two different things, and you can absolutely do that. Because if you care for someone, you want the best for them, and that doesn't necessarily mean you have to spend the rest of your life for them.
Okay, I was just gonna say, like, this person must be really young or really naive. Is that even possible? Yeah. Dude, everyone you love, it's called love and fucking. Like, you don't want to fuck everyone you love, so obviously you can care for them deeply, but it doesn't mean you want to fuck them and be with them for the rest of your life. So
outside of like love for like family and friends, why wouldn't you want to fuck everyone you love?
Because I'm loyal as fuck.
Well, obviously you're married. I mean, this person's probably single, dude. Okay.
No, I'm just talking about, like, in general. Like, I'm loyal as fuck. Like, I have self-respect. You know, I don't just fuck anyone.
But you love them. This is not anyone. This is someone you love. That's what your comment is. That if you loving, love them,
no. Loving and fucking is two different things. Like, you can love anyone, but you can't just fuck anyone.
Okay.
Because, you know, you want to fuck someone that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. Kind of like that.
Okay. But yeah, at the end of the day, though, you can care for people who you don't have to be with forever. Anonymous. And, you know, when I think about, like, my life and, you know, my exes, like, that is a clear example of people I care about deeply, who, you know, who you've built a connection with, but you may not necessarily want to spend the rest of your life with them.
So good luck, Anonymous. So for our next one here, Anonymous asks, case scenario, you and your significant other have been dating for 3 years now. You love each other. For the most part, you're happy. Your goals are aligned. You've both been married before, so you both have kids of your own. Yet no matter how happy you both are, he or she tells you that they don't want to get married because a marriage doesn't keep two people together. After all, both your previous marriage ended up in divorce, but they still want to spend the rest of their life with you and making plans with you, such as purchasing a home, among other plans that married couples usually make together, etc. Is there a right or wrong about this? I love my significant other. I want to spend the rest of my life with my significant other, but without marriage, I'm a little bit perplexed. Help me weigh the pros and cons.
All right, if I'm giving a real answer, it's going to be there is no right or wrong. The right or wrong is whatever you two decide. But that's boring. Okay, so I completely agree with whoever your significant other is. And I really wish you would have let us know if you were a guy or girl, because it may or may not change my answer. But, you know, we just had this conversation with a friend of ours today. Chu and I actually did in one of our Facebook chats with a different friend of ours. And, you know, he was talking about, you know, thinking to get married later in the year and asking about whether legally they should get married or not. from a pros and cons standpoint, honestly, the only pro we could come up with was that there might be tax benefits. And so financially, there's that. But all of the other, you know, cons that come along with it, if you think, honestly, if you think that you need marriage to somehow solidify your relationship or to level up your relationship, bro or girl, you've got problems. Because if your relationship's not strong enough to, what the fuck is marriage going to do for it?
Well, I mean, that's kind of hard for me, like, because, like, for me, I believe in true love and marriage. But to tell the truth, there are no pros in marriage. No, I mean, like, objectively, you know, with marriage, there is no pros. Like, what do you get? Okay, tax benefits, hey, or whatever
that's money in the bank, man.
But I mean, the downside is
nasty divorce,
child support, all this crazy shit, you know. And plus, the pros to not getting married is, you know, you can cheat the government, you
know? Spoken like a true Hmong person. Damn.
Because, dude, I'm not doing this because I believe in true love, but I know people who do this. You know, so the mother and child will get free Medicaid and WIC and all this shit, welfare.
Dude, don't give all of our home secrets away too soon like this on the show, man.
Especially if ICE is listening to this shit, you know?
Exactly.
We'll be hey, fucked, dude.
Shout out. Make sure you guys get your citizenship so you don't have to worry about ICE. That's true. You don't have yours, right?
Let's not talk about that on a public forum, right?
But this person probably thinks differently. But for me, it's like, if you need marriage to solidify your relationship, I feel like where you're going to is trust and commitment. So what you're telling me is you're both not committed to each other to the extent that you want to be committed, even though he or she is saying they're willing to do all of the commit to you in all the same ways that they would with under a traditional legalized marriage. And you're the person who's seeing that that is not enough for you. You need a piece of paper to solidify, you know, their level of commitment. And I totally think you're in the wrong. Grow up a little bit, mature a little bit. It sounds like you both have been married before and you should know better then.
No, but I think, you know, there could be a nice compromise here. Why can't you just get married the Hmong way and not get married the Mi'ka way? You know, for example, like, obviously, so like, all you gotta do really is we don't mono, and that's only like a grand or two, you know, called jungle, huh? So like, it's not that big of a burden on you guys.
Yeah.
What the fuck gonna say? Every fucking Hmong wedding, the Mekongs are like, hey, if you guys ever have any trouble, you know, or in your marriage, you know, I'm right here, you know, come back to me, I'll straighten you guys out. Man, fuck that. You know, we ain't like that no more, dude. Who the fuck has ever gone to a Mekong, dude? All that time that's ever happened, you know, and someone went to the Mekong and they're like, hey, my wife is being a bitch and stuff, you know, or like blah blah, you know, the muhai do tai, they call like do bash to the hai be hai ni lo, ni chi yo be hai ye ka le sa. Like, dude, that's bullshit, dude.
Tell you jiao le mo da jia a, nei jia hai de le hai ge shen de, so that shit point just portion de yo.
But I'm just saying, you know, like, you know, if you get married the Hmong way, the only hardship on you would, truthfully, would be like when there's funerals and shit, and then you have a role to play, you know. But that's about it. So, like, know, from my perspective, you know.
Well, sounds like Chu and I have, you know, it sounds like Chu, you and I have a different perspective on this. And, you know, it's probably because I've been married and divorced, so maybe I'm a bit more jaded. And like these guys, like their other significant partner, and you still believe in true love, like this person who still wants marriage to solidify their true love.
Yeah, it's true, dude. All right, man. Anonymous asks, my fiance's ex is diagnosed with a terminal illness, which means that she may not have much time left. Lately, she's been calling him for comfort. Even though she's still married, she broke up with him years ago and married her husband now. He recently asked to go see her one last time as a friend, he said. But I feel conflicted, so conflicted I don't even know how to feel. A part of me is saying she left him for someone else and broke his heart, so why should he even make time for her just because she may be dying. But another part of me is saying that he should go see her because it is the last time, and at least he'll have a clear conscience about it and move forward. Am I wrong to feel the way I do, or am I just selfish?
You're completely selfish. All throughout here, all I've heard about is you and your feelings, and I didn't hear you say a single thing about how your man feels, right? I mean, aside from maybe he has to go clear his conscience.
Dude, Mintai, 我先来嘛.
No, but for real, like, you're trying to tell him that he needs to feel spiteful towards her because she broke his heart. Like, why do you get to do that? That sounds pretty controlling to me and, you know, pretty selfish. Like, if you're secure enough about yourself and he's good enough to you, what harm is that going to do to let him to do that?
But, you know, also, like, sure, she's dying, dude. Does she really have the ability to fuck him? Like, come on. But if she does, dude, come on. One last fuck. Just let him, dude.
Oh, my God, dude. That's so off limits, man. Oh, gosh. But for real, though, I honestly wouldn't worry about it because let's play it this way, okay? Let's say you were selfish and you told him you couldn't do it, which I, as a man, would never listen to you. I wouldn't give a fuck because you're being selfish and I would know that. But let's just say he did listen to you. Let's guess who he's going to blame one day when he can't live with himself because he didn't offer peace to somebody else. Take a guess. It's going to be fucking you.
Then again, like, if he really did love his current wife, like, why the fuck should he care about any other lady? No? Or any other exes?
Because caring and loving don't have to go hand in hand. You can care about people and not have to love them.
That's not true, dude.
This woman's just being the typical woman, huh? Spiteful, resentful, controlling.
No, I don't think so. I see her point. Like, seriously, like, if you have an ex, okay, I'll just put myself in this situation. If all my ex or all the girls that ever rejected me or broke up with me, you know, they're dead to me. Like, I don't want to be friends. I don't want to have any feelings. You're dead. You're gone. Because I moved on. Because now all my focus is on the next person. All my love is for the next person. So this is why I like kind of see where she's coming from. And this guy, like, he's being a little bitch because he's acting like he still has feelings for her. But
dude, he has never seen her. He just wants to see her like one last time.
He's never seen her?
No, I mean, it makes it sound like he's never gone back to see her after they've broken up and when he's been like with his girl, right? It's not like he's trying to take opportunities to go see his ex. It's just, dude, that his ex is dying.
If my ex call me and be like, hey, Chu, I'm dying, you know? I bet, okay, RIP. Clank, hang up.
Shut up.
No, I'm serious. I'm not even fucking lying, dude. I'm serious. Like, once you're dead to me, you're dead, dude.
All right, well, Chu, catch the balls. All right, thanks, y'all, for listening to our first episode. We hope you guys enjoy that as much as we did. Check out and like our Facebook page, Two Hmong Boys. Remember, that's with an I. And shoot us a DM if there's any topics you want to hear us talk about, or if you've got a question you want to send us for a Hmong Lu Hmong segment.
So if you like us, please subscribe and review. But remember, only 5-star reviews. And if you don't like us, then fuck you and you and you.
Because I'm through.
So fucking ugly, dude. But seriously, if you don't like us, still subscribe and review, because why not? Mong Lu Mong. So, jai ba. Hãy subscribe cho kênh Ghiền Mì Gõ để không bỏ lỡ những video hấp dẫn.
Look.